This certainly is a lovely time of year, unless you're really allergic to everything. And even if you're really allergic to everything, it can still be really beautiful through all the sneezes. Yeah. I'm one of those people. I'm really allergic to living things. So it's cool. Not humans, I think, but pretty much everything else. And yet I really appreciate the beauty. I love when those first crocuses come up through the snow, and then when my lilacs start to bloom and the daffodils and all the flowers that I don't even know their names and all the different colors, and living in the DC area, you know, the cherry blossoms, that first there are the white ones and then there are the pink ones, and then the crepe myrtle will come and bloom all summer. And every day is something new. And here's the thing about flowers that is just so fascinating to me, and trees. You know, we think that nothing is happening in the winter, right? But there's so much going on underneath the surface. There's so much happening beneath the earth. It's like when we go to sleep at night. You know that you need sleep. You know that we're supposed to get our 8 hours. And I'm a long sleeper. Is anybody else here a long sleeper? I'd be happy with 10 hours a night easily, right? And you know that sleep rejuvenates us. We need that sleep to be able to function. And do you know what it feels like when you don't have enough sleep and then you're trying to think and trying to do things and you're just not as healthy as you need to be, and your mind doesn't work as well? Because a lot is happening during that time when we're sleeping. And how many of you remember your dreams? Sometimes, right? You know, the dreams, we're doing work in our sleep. We're doing, you know, we have inside jokes that we tell ourselves in our dreams, right? And we're doing all this work. And in flowers, it's, I don't know if flowers are telling themselves inside jokes and other plants, but they're doing all this work in the winter that we don't see. And then they burst forth in springtime. They burst forth and we see all these beautiful blooms. And they keep changing. First there's the bud, and that's its own kind of beauty. And then there's the bloom, and that's a kind of beauty. And there's the early bloom and the full bloom and the late bloom, and then the blooms fall away, and then there's something else, and then there's the fruit, right? Because the bloom signals the fruit, and then there's the fruit that's something else. And the blooms attract the bees, and the bees pollinate everything, and the cycle keeps going on. Well, it's a lot like raising children. And some of you have done that, and some of you have been children, and some of you still are children. Can I tell you a secret? Being six years old was my favorite ever. And some days I feel like I'm perpetually 6 years old. So, you know, we can be children even when we're grandparents in some ways, right? But when we raise children, and I don't just mean our own children, when we raise children in a community and when we teach children, it's a lot like watching a garden grow. We see them as seedlings, as buds, and we watch them break through and grow, and sometimes grow very, very tall. And we watch them bloom and change as they bloom. And sometimes change into things we never imagined. And grow into beautiful, beautiful things. And create a magnificent garden. A magnificent, colorful, and fragrant garden that continues to enrich the world. Now, what does it take to make a garden grow and to nurture children? Well, we have to nourish that garden. You can't grow things in dead soil, right? We have to water it, either by the rain or by caring for it and watering it by hand if there's nothing coming down from the skies. We have to make sure there are nutrients. We have to make sure that things are planted in the soil where it can grow. We can't plant shady plants in bright sunny areas, and we can't plant things that require lots of sun in shady areas. We have to make sure things have the right amount of sunlight and shade and water and nutrients. Well, we do that in our religious education programs by exposing our children to the light, but also providing them with shelter and protection when they need it, allowing them to explore and grow within safe borders, within safe boundaries. We feed them here, and today we're celebrating our teachers, and especially our high school youth who are bridging to young adulthood. And we're doing it in the context of the flower ceremony that was started by the Reverend Norbert Chopek. Anybody know where he came from? Who knows where he was from? Czechoslovakia. He was from Prague. And he started this in the 1920s when he looked out and he saw on the hillside all the wildflowers, and he thought, how beautiful, and shouldn't we bring that beauty, God's majesty, into the church and celebrate and share with each other in a flower ceremony. We sometimes, in the United States, we've sometimes called it flower communion. He never called it that. He called it a flower ceremony. And wouldn't that be a wonderful thing to share with each other? And he was committed to freedom and growth and free religion, and he was murdered for his beliefs, for what he knew to be right. He was sent to a concentration camp where he died during World War II. And so when we do this, we also remember him today and what he stood for, and the ideals of well, that's Unitarianism, but also Unitarian Universalism. We do that with beauty and with sharing, because when we bring flowers to beautify the church and share them with each other as a gift of love to one another, that's a beautiful way to remember what he did, and it's a beautiful way to remember everything that is contained within. Look at all of these flowers up here. There are magnolias, great big loud flowers that grow on trees. And I never saw a magnolia until I moved down here. They don't grow in New York. That's a regional thing. And they're big, huge flowers, and there are. They are delicate. I don't even know what these are, but there are teeny delicate little flowers that you have to take time and really look at and appreciate. And one is not more beautiful than the other. They're different. And there are hydrangeas. Hydrangeas are one of the flowers for remembrance. Hydrangeas that change their color depending on what's in the soil. If it's alkaline or acidic, right? Because we're all products of our environment. There are fragrant flowers and flowers that don't have a scent. Some speak to our noses and some only to our eyes. But all of them have a language. All of them have something to say to us. All of them make up this garden and our garden. And wouldn't we be so much poorer without any flowers at all, or if we only ever had one kind of flower? It takes all of us to make this garden. It takes all of us to raise up the children in a church community. And it takes all of us to celebrate those who have spent the year teaching the children and those youth and children who are a part of this community. And with that, I think it's time that we hear from some of them. So I understand that the LH3 group has some things to say. Is that correct? Does LH3 have some things to say? Want a microphone? Here's the microphone. How many microphones do you need?
We'll use one.
Just pass it.
Okay. And then you're going to stay up here for graduating season.
So I guess we're up here for LH3 right now.
Put it close to your mouth. Close to your mouth.
Oh yeah. Okay. Okay. So I guess I'll just talk about the. One project we do every year is the homelessness survival bags, which some of you have probably taken from the bin, and it's I think anyone who's given one out knows that it's really useful. It's a good thing to do because it's helpful, yeah.
I think like one important thing about
the use the microphone.
Sorry. One important thing about the homeless kits is that we have things in there that people wouldn't normally think to give. We have like socks and toothpaste, and I mean, you might think to give a water bottle, but and McDonald's gift cards and things like. So I remember just when I heard that we were like putting socks in, I was like, oh, that's like such a good idea, but I wouldn't have thought of that before. So it's good that we can make those kits and actually give those out to people.
We also made dog biscuits for an animal shelter.
We also did some gifts for a family. We wrapped like a tricycle for Christmas, which was very hard.
Yeah, that was easy.
And we also did a spring cleanup of the parking lot around here, which was, there was a lot of trash around here.
So I think some of these things that we've mentioned, we've done a couple years in a row, but something new that we actually did was we did birthday gifts for foster kids, where we collected up a bunch of stuff. We wrapped up some like shoe boxes so that they could just open up the gift easily, and there was just a bunch of stuff inside. And it took a while to plan what we wanted in them, but I think that we made like 10 in the end, something like that, and it turned out really well. Yeah. My favorite thing that we do in the beginning of the year, and I know a lot of you have been involved in this in the past few years, has been raking the leaves in the pet cemetery at the Baltimore Humane Society. So we usually do like a strip, and then we get all the leaves all the way back, and then I think other groups come in and like finish it. But it's a good like thing that we get to all do together, and like, you know, this was kind of maybe our last time doing it together for a little while, for us, how many, 5, 6 of us. But yeah, it's good for us, it's good for the animals that have passed and the people who work there, so yeah.
And I think, and then you have some things to tell us about. The youth group is going to tell you. You're going to tell us some things about youth group as well, or is it the graduating seniors are going to do that, right?
No, everybody.
It's everybody. Okay, okay. That's, I didn't mean to panic you.
All right. Yeah, sure. So, should come? Can you go get the poster? Thank you. So, in past years, this is sort of similar to what we've done, where we take our list of virtues, we discuss them. You know, normally we would pretty much bring into here what we would do in the classroom. Well, you know what I mean? Where, you know, we take a virtue, we talk about the upsides, the downsides, what we think it means, we do some dilemmas with it, and we sort of really explore it. And so this time we sort of took some of our own topics, these are some of the ones that we discussed, and we talked about what was, so we picked what was important to us. We talked about wisdom and stress, social justice, sleep. You can read the rest of them, but except for two of the things really small at the bottom there, which you can't read, so I will explain them to you. So one of the things that we talked about for a few weeks was healing. It was, I think we had like an old Soul Matters packet, and we thought this was very important to talk about what it means to be a community of healing. But then also we went in and, you know, this was also like spread over spring break. So we were having just patches of people come in and we would talk about it and then share what we did last week. And I feel like that was really good because we talked about healing as a community, but also individually. And also part of what we talked about with healing then fed into when we were doing our youth service. And I know that we used a couple readings from that, and it sort of just helped when we were thinking about what we wanted to talk about and how, you know, you probably heard the service, but how as a society we don't value caring for ourselves. And so, I don't know, is there anything else that we should cover? Yeah, so we want to keep this bit, you know, not too long because you've seen it a couple times before and also you might have seen the service, and so a lot of what we did went into that service. So that was what we did in youth group.
Good job. Thank you. Good job. You can sit, unless you, do you have more to say? Okay. We're happy to hear it. Good job. Are you proud of this group of people? Because you, I mean, I think they're a great group, and they did a lot, but they didn't do this on their own, right? As much as we want to believe in rugged individualism and Emersonian individualism, they were able to do this because you nurtured and fed them. And this is, they are part of your garden, just as you nurture and feed each other. So congratulations to the whole congregation for producing such a thoughtful group of young adults.